Zechariah chapter 8. We'll finish this tonight. And it will be of interest for you to know that these chapters took Zechariah some 2 years to receive, most of them in one night. But then again, the second reference about the time that God spoke to him, it came to pass in the fourth year of King Darius. When it started, it was in the second year of Darius. So, in this eighth chapter, we have these visions and encouragements that Zechariah gave to Israel coming to an end. Now, I'm not going to read the first 8 verses, but they're most important. God tells that he is jealous for Zion. He's going to dwell in Zion. And he tells us that there are going to be old men and old women, every man with his staff in his hand for very age. They'll dwell in the streets of Jerusalem. And it says boys and girls are going to play in the streets of Jerusalem. And God says, it might be marvelous in the eyes of those that are going to experience it, but God says, is it going to be marvelous in my eyes? Look at verse 8. Now this is what is so important. And I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and righteousness. This has never been completely fulfilled. In a small measure, yes. But there is that period that you'll find in Revelation 20, spoken of as the millennium, when it's going to come to pass. Now, let's read, starting at verse 9. God, in the first 8 verses, tells what is going to happen. Now, he's telling them what to do in the present. Well, what about all these things that are going to come to pass? He says, yes. But now, this is what I want from you. Verse 9. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days these words from the mouth of the prophets that were in the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, even the temple, that it might be built. So think, this is 19 years ago. We find that later on, 2 years previous to this, Haggai and Zechariah, the prophets, were preaching, but it speaks about that day when the foundation was laid. Now, it may be also referring to when they started to rebuild again, but it says, the words that they spoke then, you listen to them. Verse 10, for before those days, there was no hire for man, nor any hire for a beast, neither was there any peace to him that went out or came in, because of the adversary, where I set all men, every one against his neighbor. Think of that. Remember, it wasn't an accident. It was God actively engaged in setting every man against his neighbor. But now, verse 11, I will not be unto the remnant of this people, as in the former days, saith the Lord of hosts, for there shall be the seed of prosperity, the seed of peace. The vine shall give its fruit, and the ground shall give its increase, and the heaven shall give their due. And I will cause the remnant of this people to inherit all these things. And it shall come to pass that as you were a curse among the nations of house of Judah and house of Israel, so I will save you, and you shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. Please notice that God, in verse 9, said, let your hands be strong. And when he ends this paragraph, he says, let your hands be strong. Verse 14, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, as I thought to do evil unto you, when your fathers provoked me to wrath, saith the Lord of hosts, and I repented not, so again have I thought in these days to do good unto Jerusalem, and to the house of Judah, fear ye not. These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man truth with his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. and that none of you devise evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and let no false oath. For all these things are those that I hate, saith the Lord. And the word of the Lord of hosts came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts. Now, I must point this out. Look in chapter 7 for a moment. Look in chapter 7 at verse 2. Now they of Bethel had sent Sherezer, Regemmelech, and their men to entreat the favor of the Lord, and to speak unto the priests of the house of the Lord of hosts, and to the prophet, saying, should I weep in the fifth month, separating myself as I've done for these so many years? Now they're asking about their behavior at the fast. This is the answer. Look at verse 18 of chapter 8. And the word of the Lord of hosts came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the sixth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth, shall be unto the house of Judah joy and gladness and cheerful feasts. Therefore, love truth and peace. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come peoples and the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to entreat the favor of the Lord, and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Yea, many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem, and to entreat the favor of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all the languages of the nations. They shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Now, what is so remarkable is that there are some who do not believe what is commonly called in a millennium. They believe that all the promises that God made in the Old Testament and all the promises that the Lord Jesus made in the New Testament, like this, the Savior himself said that men shall come from the north and south and east and west and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of God. And the Lord Jesus said that the 12 apostles shall sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. They do not believe that in a literal way. They believe that somehow it's all spiritual and it's going to be, we're in heaven, and they can't tell you exactly how, but they say it must be spiritual. But what God is telling us is that all of these things are going to be literal. That is the beauty of it. And as you read this chapter, if you reflect upon it, you understand that there has never been in the history of Israel anything like the complete fulfillment of this portion of the Word of God. Why is going to be told us later on when the nation of Israel that has not repented, the nation of Israel over whose heart a veil remaineth, when the scriptures are read, the veil is going to be taken away, and God will pour out the spirit of grace and supplication, and they shall look on the Lord Jesus whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him. And when that happens, then all of these things are going to happen in their fullness. And if I ask you, has Israel as a nation as yet repented and called upon the Lord Jesus as Savior? You say, no. Then Zechariah and his prophecies in their fullness have not been fulfilled. So what we're reading has an application for those who hear the portions of the Word of God, but the ultimate fulfillment shall be when the Messiah comes. I pointed that out when it speaks about the Lord Jesus and the crowns being upon his head, about the branch coming forth. All of these things cannot refer to Joshua, cannot refer to Zerubbabel. Only the Lord Jesus can completely fulfill these prophecies. And so when he, the priest, and the king, inherits what is rightfully his, sits upon the throne of his father David, then all of these things are going to come to pass. And I think of the beauty of it, and I long for the day when old men and women may sit in the streets, and boys and girls can play in the streets, no one making them afraid, no danger, no violence, peace, but goodness of God upon the land of Israel and upon men. We long for that day. That is what we are praying for when we pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There is no confusion or disobedience in heaven. God's will is to be prayed for, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come, and this is what is going to happen. Right now, look at verse 9. This is what God expects of us now. He tells us of great things, glorious things in the future. But he says, for those to whom he's speaking right now, these things pertain to the future. But right now, let your hands be strong, you that hear in these days the words from the mouth of the prophets. You see, they've been building on the temple 2 years, and there are to be 2 more years before that temple is to be completed. And what God does not want is for his people to be so taken up with prophecy, with the promises of the future, that they stop and they do nothing. They say, that is wonderful, O Lord. For part of it is going to be realized when they, in obedience to the Spirit of God, drawing them through the mouths of the prophets, when their hands are strong and they take courage and they continue to build the temple of God. So understand that. While you and I are thinking about the church being completed, let us witness to the lost that the sinners that will make up that church shall be completed, and that God will work in the hearts of his own people, perfectly conforming them to the image of Christ, that our hands be strong to do our work, as God said, your hands be strong to do your work. And this is what God promises. Look at verse 10. For before those days there was no fire for man, nor fire for beast, there was no peace. Here is what God tells us. There can be, if it is his will, that he can control the economy, he controls the crime, he controls the hearts of men, all of these things God can control. But the reason these things were happening before they applied themselves to build the temple, God said, I set all men, everyone against his neighbor. And so God is telling us here that it was not by accident that there was no safety in going out and coming in. God said, I did it. This is my judgment upon you for disobedience, for not only actively doing what was wrong, but passively refusing to build my house, my temple. This is my judgment upon you. But God says, now things are going to be reversed. Look at verse 11. But now I will not be unto the remnant of this people as in the former days, saith the Lord of hosts. For, and all of these things that he just spoke of, are to be cancelled out. And verse 12 says, there shall be the seed of prosperity, peace. The vine shall give its fruit, and the ground shall give its increase, and the heavens shall give their due, and I will cause the remnant of this people to inherit all these things. So God controls the hearts of men. He controls the rains of heaven, the dews of earth. God causes the vegetables and the fruits and all the things of earth to grow and come to fruition and to maturity. And God says, if you are obedient to me, I will bring about all these blessings to you. Now God can do it again. It's not always that he does these things in this day. But he made the specific promise to the Israelites that were working on the temple at that time. He said, this is what will happen if you will diligently apply yourself and you will build my temple. Now look at verse 13. And it shall come to pass that as you were accursed among the nations, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and you shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. That's the way that God encourages us. He tells us what shall be And he says, now you do all in your power to bring it to pass now. I promise you that I am with you, saith the Lord. And he says, fear not, but let your hands be strong. Talking about the hand of God to work. God says, let your hands be strong. And notice, he set every man's heart against his neighbor. Look at verse 13. It shall come to pass as you were a curse among the nations. God is able to control the disposition of the nations toward the nation of Israel. And God is able to control the disposition of men and women around us, toward us. It says in Proverbs, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. So let us lay hold on these promises from God. Verse 14. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, as I thought to do evil unto you, when your fathers provoked me to wrath, I repented not. It says, now in these days, I am thinking about doing good unto Jerusalem and the house of Judah. Fear ye not. It's a wonderful thing to know that the mind of God is toward us for good. If we know that God's mind is toward us for evil, how dreadful is the thought of praying to God. But if you know the mind of God is toward us for good, then our hearts are filled with hope and joy and boldness to go and enter into his presence and pray. Look at verse 16. He told them to let their hands be strong in building the temple in literal strength. But now, look at the moral expectations of God. These are the things that you shall do. Speak to every man truth with his neighbor. Did you know that the people of God tell lies? I've had people to tell me lies before. And it says, execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. The judgment, the decisions that are to be made. Here are the elders and those that make decisions in the gates. Why, they were corrupt. There was a bribe. They had regard of men. But God said, no, that's not the thing to do. He said, execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. And let none of you devise evil in your hearts against his neighbor. And so outwardly, the truth of God is to prevail, and inwardly, there to be no evil thoughts, not hating your neighbor in your heart. And God says, love no false oath. Why? For all these things are the things that I hate, saith the Lord. Think of that. God says, there are certain things that I hate. Well, among those things that he hates is lying one to another. And it says in the New Testament that we are not to lie one to another, but we are to speak the truth. All right. Truth is what God loves. He hates lying, and he hates false, corrupt judgment, and he hates the men that think evil in their hearts against their neighbors. He wants us to love the truth. And when a man takes a false oath, he hates that, and he wants us to hate it as well. Now, verse 18. And the word of the Lord of hosts came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, the fifth, the fast of the seventh, and the tenth, shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness and cheerful feasts. Therefore, love truth and peace. Hate what God hates. Love what God loves. Now, this is the answer to the question. All of these dates were commemorative of things that happened to the temple. When the breach was made in the wall, when the fire, when the siege, the death of Gedaliah, all of these events took place, and the Jews proclaimed fast and mourned all these months, the 70 years. They didn't mention them all in chapter 7, but now God mentions all of these fasts that they had. But God says, the fast is going to be turned into a feast. And at a fast, there is sorrow and mourning. But God said, all of those periods of sorrow and mourning are going to be removed. Sorrow and mourning will be passed away, and I will wipe all tears away from your eyes. And now, all of the times when we think of the breach that was made, you will discover But God says that no longer is to be mourned for, because there's never going to be another breaking in of the enemy. And as for the murdering of righteous ones, no one will ever do that when I'm around. And he tells them all the things that cause them to proclaim fast are going to be obliterated, and just the opposite of his gun, and all of these fasts shall be turned into feasts. Instead of mourning, there shall be joy. And God makes that promise. And he says, now, let none of you devise evil. And he says, let none of you love lying and warfare, but love truth and peace. Verse 20, thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come peoples, and the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to entreat the favor of the Lord, and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also, yea, many peoples, this means Gentiles, many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem, and to entreat the favor of the Lord. This is in a coming day. What nations of the world do you see now going to Jerusalem to seek and to entreat the favor of the Lord? They hate it. There's no attraction there. But it says in a coming day, that is what is going to happen. The nations of the world, many peoples, strong nations, they're going to entreat the favor of the Lord. Verse 23, thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all the languages of the nations. They shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew. And the people in the world are going, running after Jews, wanting their friendship, wanting to be associated with them, wanting to be named alongside of them with their God. You say, such a thing does not occur. Why? Need I tell you what Hitler did to the Jews? Need I tell you now how that hatred has been renewed all over the world? It's not people wanting to join the Jews. They hate the Jews. They want to destroy the Jews. God says, all of that is going to be changed. Now, I want you to see this verse. Look in chapter 12. Chapter 12. We're talking about Israel and the nations of the world. Remember that God says that in the coming day, 10 people shall take hold of the skirt of a Jew from many nations and strong cities, seeking their favor. And this is what it says in verse 3 of chapter 12. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all the peoples. All that burden themselves with it shall be sore wounded. That is what's happening now. And it says also in Hosea that Israel is like a vessel that no man desireth. This is the judgment of God upon his people now. A burdensome stone. And it says anyone that troubles himself with it, it says they shall be sore wounded. And Jerusalem is a vessel wherein no man has any desire. That's now. But in the coming day, look at this magnificent promise of God. Verse 22. Many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek the favor of the Lord, and 10 men shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew. 10 is the number that signifies a large, a great amount. Like you tempted me 10 times, and it says in the coming days, 10 women shall bake in one oven. It means a great number. And so vast numbers of people are going to take hold of the skirts of him that is a Jew, and they are going to ask him to go with him to worship in his city, because he had heard that God is with you. Now, think of those words. You say, God is with you. His name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted, God with us. And you find this word in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, and chapter 8, verse 8. His name is Emmanuel, and Emmanuel's land is the promised land. And it said, we have heard that God is with you. So this is what is going to happen in the coming days. All of these promises of God. Now, think of this. When you consider what has happened to Israel, their condition for some 2,000 years since they rejected their Messiah, you say, how could these things ever come to pass? God says, they're going to come to pass. And when these promises were made in a different way to Zechariah, and Zechariah said, how shall these things be? They seemed impossible to him. The judgment of God fell on him. And then, when he was speaking about Elizabeth, his wife, he said, she who is your kinswoman is the child for 6 months, for no word of God shall be void of power. And what causes men to stumble is trying to see literally how these things are going to come to pass. But I want you to see some things first. Turn to Isaiah 2. I want you to see this. Isaiah 2. How can all men go to Jerusalem? You know the size of Jerusalem. Well, this is the way that I interpret it. Look at Isaiah 2, verse 2. And it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. If I read this correctly, Jerusalem is not going to be the small, insignificant city that it is now. But it is miraculously going to be changed and enlarged and exalted and expanded to such a vast area that great multitudes can come and be there. And at the same time, when it speaks of Jerusalem, I take it as signifying the centrality of the renewed nation of Israel that God is going to bless in the millennium. When the desert shall blossom as a rose, when the Lord Jesus shall sit upon the throne of his father David, and it says this is what is going to happen. Verse 4. The Lord Jesus will judge between the nations and will decide concerning many peoples, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Now look, that's why I told you that the portion in Zechariah 8 is the millennium. Because verse 3, and many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. The same thing that is said in Isaiah 2 that is millennial is also said in Zechariah chapter 8. Now, look at chapter 60. Chapter 60. And look at verse 14. Concerning Israel in the future. And the sons of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee. And all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet. And they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. And look at chapter 62, verse 12. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called salt out, a city not forsaken. This has never happened, and it's never going to happen until God miraculously pours out his Spirit upon the nation, and they return and receive their Messiah. For these are some of the things that Zechariah told him that shall be in the future. And he says, work for it now, in the present. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, thou hast spoken great things concerning Zion and concerning that remnant that shall be accounted worthy to inherit those things. And he's spoken great things concerning us. And we confess our God looking around us. We would wonder, how can these things ever come to pass? We shall not be so foolish. No word of God shall be void of power. If anything too hard for God, we know that. With man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So, Father, let us believe in your word and trust in your word, and let us know that your mind is toward us for good. And therefore, let us come into thy presence with boldness, knowing that you love us and that you've got things to do right, to work out, to work those things together for good. And bless us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.